It's time for WMKT's Talk of the North with Nick Rudy on Triple Talk 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM WMKT. What's on your mind today? Voice your opinions through social media or on the WMKT phone lines. The only live and local news talk program in Northern Michigan covering the issues that matter most to you. The Talk of the North with Nick Rudy.
Good afternoon, Northern Michigan. Welcome to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk WMKT. Happy to have you along on this Friday afternoon. We've made it to Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. It's the last show of 2020, the final show, or 2022, the final show of 2022. Got a great show planned for you today, and got to say, it's been pretty interesting weather-wise today. It started off pretty warm, and it's gotten colder throughout the day, something that we usually don't see. Started out in the mid-50s, slowly dropped down into the high 30s right now, 38 here in Petoskey. So definitely a strange one, 25-ish degree temperature drop in 24 hours. And then over the span of the last few days, we went from several inches, feet of snow, to it being melted away largely. So that's Northern Michigan for you, folks. We got today's trivia question for you. So today's question is, what country is known as the land of windmills? Which country is known as the land of windmills? It's either Netherlands, Poland, Norway, or Denmark. And as you ponder that question, don't forget to head over to our Twitter at Triple Talk WMKT to vote. We put the polls up a few hours in advance to get everyone involved. You can also find the polls on my personal Twitter at Nick Rudy, R-H-U-D-Y, where I have it retweeted. And as I mentioned a bit ago, we're going to have a pretty fun show for you. We're going to be joined by the owner of the Iron Pig, as I alluded to yesterday, the owner of the Iron Pig, Ian Murphy, to discuss the latest developments in their story and their feud with the state of Michigan, the health department, the Liquor License Commission. That coming up after the 30-minute mark in today's third segment. But it's time for the answer to the trivia question. The country known as the land of windmills, the Netherlands, Poland, Norway, or Denmark, and it is the Netherlands. Congratulations to all you people who got it correct. I'm on a three-day win streak. I think my personal best was a four-day win streak. We're getting pretty close, so we'll be back next year with another question for you guys. But before we head into the local news segment, want to encourage you, if you want to reach out to the show with any comments, questions, or concerns, you can do so 866-371-1270, 866-371-1270. Leave us a voicemail. We'll reply to you live here on the air. You can, again, as we mentioned, our social media handles at Triple Talk WMKT for the station. That's Facebook and Twitter. Send us a direct message, or you can just tweet directly at us, and do the same for me and my personal Twitter. Again, that's at Nick Rudy, R-H-U-D-Y. And then finally, as always, you can send us an email to WMKTbusiness@gmail.com. All right, it's time to get into some local news here. The Cherry Ball will be making a reappearance in downtown Traverse City this Saturday, marking the 13th annual event. So around from 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, they're going to be closing down one end of Cass Street and Front Street. That, according to Kate Payne, the executive director for the National Cherry Festival and Cherry Tea Ball Drop. Gates will open around 10:30 p.m. and music's already going to be playing at that time. And then there will be one small change this year. The 600-pound ball will be moved to a new location on Cass and Front Street. You can also watch the cherry T-ball drop from ground level. The suggested donation of $5 keeps the event going every single year. And the money will also go towards Goodwill Food Rescue and Northwest Food Coalition to help families in the area in the new year. Kicking things off with some charity is never a bad way to do it. Our next story is an update to a story that we've been tracking for a little bit. It looks like the dog park in Sutton's Bay is going to be made into a reality. With a day to spare, the fundraising campaign reached their goal. The project got a big boost right off the bat with a $30,000 donation from a Leelanau County family. That never hurts, does it? Putting the project right on track toward its $47,500 goal. As of this morning, there's actually been $55,015 raised. So they're well over around just over $7,000 over their goal, which is always great. The park will be located within Herman Park in Sutton's Bay Township with two separate sections for large dogs and other section for dogs under 35 pounds. The next step is to finalize plans at the next Sutton's Bay Township meeting, which I believe is on January 11th. New Year's is coming up, as we just mentioned. It's coming up, and it's common knowledge that drinking in excess is a pastime of New Year's for many people, no different than for us Northern Michiganders. And to help people stay off the roads, a few local transportation services are offering rides. Benzibus will have its Night Owl Shuttle available at no cost. From 5 p.m. to 3 a.m., they will have five buses on the road to transport people to and from bars and parties. And in Leelanau County and Grand Traverse County, the Bay Area Transportation Authority will be offering rides on its normal schedule until 12:30 in the morning. Bata will also have its Bayline buses running every 30 minutes from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. New Year's Eve rides can also be requested using the TransLock app. Story here, sticking around in the Grand Traverse County area. Acme Township trustees have unanimously approved plans to revive the former High Point Golf Course in Williamsburg. The famed course architect, Tom Doak, who was consulting on the project, told board members that work can begin on the property as soon as April. Tom is the original architect back. It was actually his first project, and he went off to become a world-famous architect. The local project consultant, Scott Joswaki, said the development team plans to use much of the same layout as the former course to rebuild High Point. They're going to redesign the course with the original back holes. A lot of those are still visible. And again, Tom, the course's original designer, said that nine of the holes were built are still there. There's just not any grass in them anymore. The course, which opened in 1989, was named one of Golf Magazine's 100 greatest courses in the country, quite the feat for Northern Michigan, and has lain dormant since 2009 after closing due to the previous owner's death and global financial crisis. The one thing that will be new, though, is the new clubhouse, as the original clubhouse will be remaining with the hop farm that now owns it. A new clubhouse that will be built on the Whitewater Township side, complete with a restaurant and bar for members, training facility, driving range, guest and employee parking, and cottages for overnight stay. So it'll be a very, very nice venue if it all comes to fruition. Our next story, quick one. The Petoskey District Library has added evening hours to their schedule. That's going to kick off January 2nd, so they're kicking things off right off the bat next year. The library will be open now Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from noon to 5. Back in 2019, the library actually voted to expand their hours, but due to the pandemic, they actually cut hours. So now they're finally able to add those hours back on, and that's always a good thing. Libraries are, beneficial to your communities, generally speaking. Our final story for today: a lawsuit that's testing the bounds of the justice system. It's underway in Wexford County. A teenager who had over 85% of his body burned in a motel explosion has filed a massive lawsuit against nine people he claims were supposed to protect him and failed. The explosion and fire happened back in May of 2017, rather, at the Green Mill Motel. Brian Adams, who was 13 at the time and is now 16, has undergone 200 surgeries as of last year and has filed a lawsuit against his mother, former chief of police Michael Long, the four motel owners, and prosecutors Corey Wiggins and Joanna Carey. And a judge from Alpena County is going to be presiding in the case that will be in Wexford County, as the Wexford County judge has been sued by Adams. Judge Elmore was the chief prosecutor at the time of the explosion. And the boy's mother, who was aforementioned, is serving 10 years in prison for arson and child abuse charges. Will the criminal justice system protect its own, as we've seen sometimes, as the defendants are made up of police chiefs, prosecutors, assistant prosecutors, a current judge? So that's always an interesting question. And Adams is really not asking for much money, as we often see as in the litigious society as we have, merely only $25,000, plus some other miscellaneous damages. The 16-year-old Adams is rather seeking justice for those justice against those he believes are accountable for failing to protect him at such a young age. When we come back, we're going to get into a kind of a breaking and developing story here that has been going on for the past 24 hours. And then in the third segment, as I mentioned, we are going to be joined by Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord to talk all about what's been going on with them and their feud with the state of Michigan. Some good news, and then the fight continues. We're going to tell you all about that and more coming up next. You are listening to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM Triple Talk, WMKT.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-649-8619. 800-649-8619. 800-649-8619. That's 800-649-8619.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood, but did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
800-798-1627. 800-798-1627. 800-798-1627. That's 800-798-1627.
The famous slogan goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But if it's real Vegas-style gaming you're looking for, you can stay right here. Turtle Creek Casino is a 56,000-square-foot gaming playground with over 1,000 slots and table games like blackjack, roulette, and craps, plus live action that puts you in the middle of the biggest games at Caesars Sportsbook. It's Vegas-style gaming that lets you stay and play right here. Turtle Creek Casino and Hotel. This is how we play.
Dan Bongino.
You know, liberals, I don't want to break up the United States, but can you all go to California and New York and live in your liberal havens in Illinois and just leave us the hell alone? It's clear at this point you hate the Constitution. You hate civil liberty. You'll do anything to lock us all up. Why not just go to your liberal havens and do your defund the police and rich people suck and public schools are awesome and why don't you just go do your thing?
The Dan Bongino Show, weekdays at noon on Triple Talk WMKT.
You're listening to WMKT's Talk of the North with Nick Rudy, right here on Triple Talk WMKT.
Welcome back to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk WMKT. Thanks for tuning in, Northern Michigan. Happy to have you along this Friday afternoon. Lots more show to get to, lots of good stories to get into. Although I must say that as I was researching stuff for today's show over the past, while, I was a little hesitant to get into this story. It's a controversial story about a controversial man. And I think the point is, though, that the story is not about that I am coming to, the story that I am about to tell is not specifically about the man, but about the themes surrounding the man and the story around the man. So I want to make that clear as we dive in. So, and yesterday, news broke that controversial internet personality and former lightweight kickboxing champion Andrew Tate and his younger brother Tristan were arrested along with two others in his home in Romania by Romanian police, as you would imagine. The arrest stems from an investigation, according to some sources, into the brothers allegedly forming an organized crime group with the purpose of recruiting, housing, and exploiting women by forcing them to create pornographic content mean to be seen on a specialized website for a cost, that from Romanian prosecutors. The prosecutors also asked the court to extend the brothers' stay for 30 days, but at this time, according to Tate's lawyer, they were only held for a few hours. They were not under arrest. They were only brought down to the station for questioning. And it seems to be true because Tate tweeted something out earlier this morning, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. There's a lot of little moving parts in this story. So why should we? Why do we care about this story? Again, this is nothing about the man. I don't like a lot of what Tate says about women or people in general. He's not even right-leaning in the normal sense of the word today, which means freedom-loving person. He's more of this right-wing authoritarian figure. If you do that, like that 3D or that, you know, that scale of the box that you see online, you know, where's my authoritarian thing? He's on the right side, but he's up on the authoritarian scale, not down towards libertarianism. But he's a Trumpian figure that will say a lot of stuff that no one else will say, and it might be getting him in trouble with global elites. This is a theme that we've been seeing over the past couple of years. But here's a quick example of his more authoritarian tendencies, because I want to balance this story as we get into it, showing you that he's not even remotely close to a perfect person. That's, you know, about the most far-fetched thing possible. But he also does say things that are true. And so I want to balance this to show that this guy should not be beloved on the right as a lot of the time it's made out to be. But we also need, as we will show later, that not just because he says a lot of stupid things doesn't mean everything that comes out of his mouth is stupid. It's freedom. Freedom of speech. Something that we appreciate on this show. So here's a bit more of his, an example of authoritarianism that he would have. For context, Tate was born in D.C., but he's a British citizen, but has lived for a significant portion of his life in Romania as an adult. And so he is on Piers Morgan's show talking about what he would do if he was mayor.
I will tell you right now, instead of virtue signaling and giving Qatar a hard time over their religious beliefs, what we should be doing is a treaty with Qatar to build a prison deep in the desert. Make me mayor of London. We'll make a prison deep in the desert. And if you're caught with a knife or robbing someone, you can go do 25 years with one meal a day in the scorching sun. And then what we'll do is we'll put cameras there and we'll interview you once a week and broadcast that out to the nation and see if you change your mind and make people understand that this is a country that should be respected and our laws should be respected. Instead, what happens? What has Sadiq or any of the people in charge of this country actually done to fix any of our issues besides sit around and talk? Nothing. None of them have done anything, but they seem ultra concerned with finding money for proxy wars, ultra concerned with rainbow flags in another country that is uninterested in them, and their priorities are completely messed up. Of course the ambulance people are. Of course the ambulance drivers are striking. Of course the nurses are striking. Nobody cares about the most important things in this nation.
Tate, you know, showing a little bit of an authoritarian streak there. And so I wanted to make that point, but I also want to show why the right is sympathetic towards Tate, because he says things like the following. Tate, by the way, for context, you know, context is always important. Tate is a biracial person. He his father was fully African-American. Obviously, his mother was not. So he says stuff like this because no one else will say it. And the right always appreciates when people say what others will not. This is his take on that whole Meghan Markle situation. Remember, we talked about that documentary that came out. This is what he said about that.
I'm not trying to make enemies, because trust me, I have enough. But I feel compelled to comment on this Meghan and Harry documentary. Why is nobody pointing out the obvious? As usual, Andrew Tate, the man who has to get canceled for saying water is wet, I'm just going to say. The basic premise is that Meghan and Harry are innocent and the royal family is guilty. And bullying them and picking on them, and that England as a whole has bullied them and picked on them, the reason being because they are racist. Why is nobody else saying that Meghan Markle isn't black? She's whiter than me. Not only is she whiter than me, she's whiter than the current Prime Minister of the UK,
She's whiter than the mayor of London. She's not even black. Why is nobody talking about this? The fact she's pulling the race card is absolutely and utterly insulting to every dark-skinned person who has ever genuinely suffered from racism, ever. If you're sitting there and you're dark-skinned and you suffer from racism, why are you allowing this light-skinned white woman to come along and use racism as defense for the fact that she's just not a likable person? And nobody likes seeing the Prince of England, because that's all that's happened. No one likes seeing the Prince of England be a bitch. And we know it's her fault. It's nothing to do with your skin color. We just don't like you. The only people who are sticking up for her as well are these race-baiting, random, liberal black people. Why? She's using the race card and she doesn't even deserve it. No one's racist against her. She was famous. She was fine. She was in suits or whatever, running around doing whatever haram stuff she was doing. There's no racial implication here. Nobody likes her at all.
So, Tate saying things that no one else will for whatever variety of reasons or other people and would, but do not have the platform that he has. And so that's why he has become endeared by some people on the right, for better or worse. And all of this stuff, again, to reiterate, is not in promotion of Andrew Tate. There are themes in these stories that I try to tell. And if I actually like a person or an organization, something, I would be very open about it. And this is someone who I generally don't like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything that happens to him by, you know, the global cabal is okay either. But let's get back on track, the theme of the story. Again, not a defense of the man Andrew Tate, but rather pointing out some discrepancies and inconsistencies in the left's handling of allegations and misinformation. So first off, Tate was already trending before his arrest. He was in a Twitter feud throughout the day yesterday with the ever insufferable Greta Thunberg. The pair was exchanging blows, and as you can imagine, the comebacks that Greta were using was lame, and the left, of course, treated them as if they were the greatest thing of all time. One of the videos that Tate made in reply to Greta featured a pizza box. He was eating pizza while talking, very interestingly. Well, as the arrest of Tate was broken, major media companies and verified Twitter accounts, either major media companies or just journalists or whatnot, reported that the Romanian government, who had a warrant previous out for Tate's arrest, discovered he was back in the country due to the pizza box. This was wildly reported and taken as God's truth. And then Greta Thunberg thought she got the upper hand after Tate's arrest, and she tweeted, "That's what happens when you don't recycle your pizza box." A subpar response to what the left heaped praise on, and it's now one of Twitter's most liked tweets of all time, by the way. The only problem is that earlier today, the Romanian government released a statement that the pizza box played no role in discovering Tate's whereabouts. And to this exact minute, as we speak right now, all major news reports on mainstream media websites and those Twitter accounts still have those posts up talking about the pizza box as the reason why Tate got arrested. And they continue to praise Greta, saying that it was the pizza box and that she was the one that goaded him into revealing his location. That's exactly what they are saying, word for word, and it continues to still be up, and no one has edited their story. It's actual misinformation now at this point. And oh, and there's more. Self-proclaimed journalist Kat Tenbarg wrote earlier this month that Elon's buying social media and people's mistrust of the mainstream media is terrible, and that as a combination will allow misinformation to spread. You don't trust the media, you get it from alternative sources online, namely Twitter, namely Elon's now open Twitter. That's terrible. You're going to have so much misinformation. Well, she, in the last 24 hours, this leftist journalist retweeted the following tweet. Peter Thiel and Glenn Greenwald's YouTube knockoff service paid Andrew Tate a handsome sum to start streaming from their service this year. A few months ago, Thiel was photographed entering a Romanian castle for a secret Halloween party that Elon Musk attended. So how much misinformation can be in one single tweet? It might have just set a record. Okay, Glenn Greenwald and Peter Thiel do not own Rumble, which she was referring to. Neither of them have ever paid Andrew Tate a dime. Fact. And neither Elon or Thiel were in Romania with Andrew Tate's cam girls, as this tweet alleges. False. And she, this lady, she's worried about misinformation. She can tweet whatever she wants, but she can forever keep her mouth shut about misinformation because completely discredited her from ever speaking about it ever again. And then there's this double standard about Tate's accusations. Look, I don't know how much validity there is into Tate's charges. We'll get into that in a second. But if it's true they have been operating the human trafficking ring, then let them burn. Let them go and burn in that desert in, you know, that he was mentioning earlier. We can hate him all that we want when he is proven guilty. But here on the right, we are consistent on this, while most on the left are not. So let me be very, very clear. I do not ever want to hear the left complain about human trafficking charges, especially when it's not been proven, until they too pressure the FBI to release the damn Epstein journal. Do you know how many people the deep state and the left are protecting? Not another word until that client list from that little black book is released. We're talking about the biggest sex ring to date, and they remain silent. But when it's one or two people they don't like, they raise hell. Yes, if it's true, he absolutely should go away. But they have zero, literally zero ground to stand on to complain about this. It is utterly sickening. And to the actual charges, Tate says a lot that I disagree with. I've made that point about 9,000 times. But some that I do agree with. Tate uses a lot of slogans like cancellation and the Matrix, and Matrix is coming after me. He has for years, and maybe it's true. Tate said this a couple of months ago, and he said it multiple times. We can't play all the clips for lack of time, but this is one of the things that he's alluded to several months before he got arrested, and not too long after the left kind of learned about him and tried canceling him.
Quite a few warnings, and I'm now at the point where I actually truly believe they're going to try and kill me.
So you've had messages from people trying to control you who you think would kill you.
I understand that you get three strikes in this game. Strike one is they try and shut you up and discredit you, which I've just been through. Strike two is they try and put you in jail for no reason. And strike three is they kill you. And one of my strikes is now gone, and I now firmly believe that they're going to try and kill me because they want me to be quiet and I'm not being quiet. And I have huge amounts of influence, which is what they're scared of.
Okay, so, and he said that type of thing many, many, many different times. Could Tate have caught wind that he was under investigation and he's already been canceled and just said that to misguide his followers? He was canceled. He was arrested. Look, maybe they're going to kill him. And he's trying to overhype this and make a conspiracy theory out of it. Sure. That's totally a possibility. But the timing is undoubtedly strange and we need to watch closely. Watch the charges, if they're valid or they just mysteriously drop. Watch if they're trumped up. Just pay attention because weirder things have happened. And before we go, as we're running out of time here, I leave you with this. A quote by the great Thomas Sowell that sums up the theme of this story. He says, "People will forgive you for being wrong, but they will never forgive you for being right, especially if the events prove them wrong." We will be right back with the conversation with Ian Murphy from The Iron Pig. He has not made some people very happy either in the last couple of years. We're going to get into that story coming up right after these messages. You were listening to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk, WMKT.
Fox News, I'm Kevin Uretsky. An arrest today in the November stabbing deaths of four University of Idaho students. 28-year-old Brian Koberger was taken into custody in Pennsylvania and now faces charges.
Four counts of first-degree murder, in addition to felony burglary, which involves entering the residence with the intent to commit the crime of murder.
Latah County, Idaho Prosecutor Bill Thompson. Koberger, a graduate student at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, which is less than 10 miles from Moscow, Idaho. A week ago, the Buffalo area got more than 50 inches of snow. Now life there is slowly returning to normal.
Many streets are being plowed and looking good. People are out and about trying to get food and medicines after being holed up for nearly a week in this part of western New York.
Fox Weather's Robert Ray. Temperatures there now in the 50s. America is listening to Fox News.
America's kids are at risk. Parents can't control their education, and states are taking over health decisions, even letting children decide their gender. Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax all this holiday week, and he's warning about the dangers to our kids with the woke agenda. Tune in tonight for Rob Schmidt and his series, Kids at Risk. You'll be shocked. This holiday week, check out Newsmax and Rob Schmidt. Make the switch to Newsmax. You won't look back.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's.
The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers.
We can help you understand the disease
and give you tips for living a better life.
Find your answers at Parkinson.org or call 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives. Together.
At a time when misinformation is all too common on social media, we take great pride in bringing you the news that matters, that impacts your family, news you can trust. Local broadcast journalists bring you the facts, covering the stories breaking in our community and across the globe. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on local journalism. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Triple Talk, WMKT weather forecast.
Slight chances of drizzles today, otherwise cloudy skies with the temperature falling to around 36 by 5 p.m. More clouds tonight with low of 29 even for tomorrow, New Year's Eve, high 32. Mostly cloudy skies, chances of snow showers with a low of 27. And on New Year's Day, chances of rain and snow mixes, otherwise cloudy skies, high 37 and a low of 27. That is a look at your forecast on Triple Talk, 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM. WMKT.
You're listening to WMKT's Talk of the North with Nick Rudy on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, WMKT.
Welcome back to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk WMKT. Thanks for tuning in, Northern Michigan. We have a fantastic segment lined up for you. After nearly 2 years of legal battles, we found out that 2 weeks ago, the health department voluntarily backed down from their lawsuit against the Iron Pig. Otsego County Circuit Court Judge Colin Hunter found the epidemic order issued against the Iron Pig during the pandemic was unconstitutional. Say it with me. Unconstitutional. While the health department originally appealed the decision 2 weeks ago, the health department withdrew their appeal and backed off. The health department was not the only governmental body to go after the Iron Pig and owner Ian Murphy. The liquor department, liquor commission rather, also viciously attacked Ian and revoked his liquor license in retaliation for staying open during the pandemic. They actually sent men to remove the license from the property. We just found out a day and a half ago that the Liquor Commission has bent the knee to the Iron Pig. In a letter to Murphy, they wrote, "Dear licensee, the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division of the Attorney General recommend that no further action be taken on the alleged violation reported cited above. Therefore, the file in this matter is being closed accordingly." The owner of the Iron Pig, Ian Murphy, joins us to discuss the latest developments and the future action on this matter.
So Ian, first off, thanks for joining the show today. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been busy. Season has been great.
That's great. So, you know, you've been on the show once before, talking about what happened as of, you know, it's been 2 years now at this point. But for those listening, I do want to talk about what's happening currently. But for those listening who may not be familiar with the entire story, can you just give a pretty quick background of the case, like bullet point version of what happened to you guys 2 years ago up till about 2 weeks ago when the health department kind of backed off?
Yeah, I'll do my best. So just about a year ago, November 2020, we decided to stay open against the emergency orders from the health department. We were cited the very next day with a cease and desist. A few days later, actually about a week later, we were then cited a violation from the Liquor Commission attempting to emergency suspend our liquor license. Eventually, we went through that process. The Liquor Commission suspended our liquor license for 90 days with a $600 fine. And then came the Department of Agriculture. They came in and suspended our food license, found me personally in contempt of court out of Lansing, and then suspended our food license, so basically shutting our restaurant down for about 2 weeks, roughly, in February of 2021. During that time, we didn't know that they had also done an additional liquor commission sting January 6th of 2021. I then, about 90 days after that, found out. The liquor commission sent me a letter that you've now been found in violation again. You're not serving alcohol, but you were just simply open against the emergency orders.
Okay.
Fast forward, we went through some administrative court stuff. We appealed. We got an unconstitutional ruling from the circuit court right here in Otsego County. The health department then decided to appeal that. They just recently gave up that appeal, which is a big win for us. And then even more recently, the Liquor Commission has notified us via the Attorney General's office that they are also giving up that January 6, 2020 violation. So we have been basically cleared of everything, and there is no longer government agencies holding anything over us.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, I mean, they just kind of came at you from every angle, it sounds like. And in many cases, they kind of didn't keep you in the loop, though, at the same time, which is even worse. But so you brought us up to speed to kind of where we are right now and mentioned that. So, like, the health department 2 weeks ago dropped their appeal, and then the liquor license has backed off as of 2 days ago. You guys on your social media on Facebook posted the letter that you received. Do you think that they saw the errors of their ways, or do you think the narrative has shifted around the pandemic and they can no longer hide behind, you know, their authoritarian control? So they knew they were going to lose in court and in the court of public opinion and backed off. What do you think happened there?
Well, that's a great question, and I'll try and answer it as quick as I can. In my opinion, so there is another court case that was filed in the Court of Claims where they got a constitutional ruling, which is completely contradictory to our ruling. In their release of their appeal last month, they cited this other case, and they believe that this constitutional ruling will be upheld by the Court of Appeals, so they no longer felt the need to challenge our constitutional ruling. So they probably will still be able to hold on to this health law unless the Court of Appeals does something crazy and decides to overturn the lower court's ruling. So I don't believe that they've seen any error in their ways whatsoever. I think that they have found the path of least resistance for them to hold on to this health law 333.2253.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, so most people during the pandemic at any point would have, you know, bent the knee to the government, some happily, as we've seen, and others, you know, more begrudgingly. But a lot of people would have been scared to put up a fight, and that can be understandable because obviously it's a scary situation, but you chose to remain open and fight the government's overreach, and kudos to you guys on that. But now these same government bodies have backed off, and I would even argue, though, that many of those that would have fought the government originally, like you have, would be exhausted. You have to be exhausted with all of this, and many people would see this as a win and be done. But you and the Iron Pig are not done. You have announced you're going to be forming a class action lawsuit and are looking for other businesses to sue and seek damages. Why are you doing that?
Well, so again, this comes back to holding people accountable. Our main goal is to try and get this health law removed and severed, as Judge Hunter put it in our case. They seem to be going around that. What we're also trying to do with this lawsuit is we all know that the one thing that government does hold account of is money, if you will, right? Money damages is where they pay attention.
Right.
And there are a lot of restaurants. We've got over 60 restaurants that have signed on to this already. Whether or not they end up becoming part of this class, once we go through the information, we'll be able to get the best class possible to present the judge and hopefully get a class certified, whether it's 30 or 300 restaurants, bars, and or gyms. Any business that has been affected, we want to try and include in this and then narrow that down from there. The other thing that we may do is the Iron Pig may file a lawsuit on its own and then take and create this other class with other restaurants as a separate lawsuit. Either way, we're not done. We're going to take this to the max. We want to make sure that future administrations understand that the health law that's still, by the way, being used to this day since March of 2020. Here we are almost 3 years later. They're still using this health law for vaccine mandates in nursing homes. So we want to make sure that future administrations see what has been done and what's going on and make sure that this health law isn't used in the same way that it's being used.
Okay, so that makes sense. This might sound like you might have answered it in that question, but I do want to kind of press the matter a little bit more. So, you know, I'm sure, like I mentioned before, you're a bit worn out of the process, but I think that I speak for all the freedom-loving people here in Northern Michigan, you know, as we thank you that you're going after the government in this specific instance, because I've said this before on the show before, you know, we just can't take small victories anymore. The government is so used to having all the power and is bullying people around. They very rarely face consequences for their actions, but you need to sue the pants off of them. We need to go on the offensive and use the court system to hold them accountable. The courts are literally there to hold the executive and legislative bodies in check. So we need to use them as such. And you're doing that. And it's very admirable. So you're doing, you kind of alluded to it already. So you're not just seeking, you know, the damages. It's obviously not just the financial side. You're trying to prove a point to the government and to make sure that something like this can never happen again. That's right.
Yes, and let me say this about the financial aspect of it. I don't care about the money. For us, it was about keeping our restaurant open, not going bankrupt, keeping money in our employees' pockets. We're still doing that. Our supporters are helping us do that. That is the financial gain that we were seeking. The money damages aspect of it is exactly what you said, right? So there's the three branches of government. The executive is the one that is writing the laws and enforcing these things. The legislative branch has let us down woefully and still are letting us down. So our last remedy is to use the judicial branch to ferret all of these things out and say, whoa, hold on a second. The legislature did give the executive branch way too much wiggle room with this health law from 1976 or whatever it is. So we want the judicial branch to step in and clarify these things, whether it's an unconstitutional ruling or whether it's through a declaratory action, which is already in the Court of Claims and in the Court of Appeals. Now we seek to go for monetary damages to get their attention and everybody else's attention, which we've already seen. You know, I was on Glenn Beck's show this morning, like you mentioned.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, that's the other aspect of it, is bring a spotlight to what these people are doing. And this is one way of doing it.
100%. You know, you alluded to the legislature letting you down, and I totally agree. Is there a sense of urgency now that with the results of these midterms, with, you know, first time in 40 years, Democrats taking control? Because that was obviously a Democrat executive branch that did a lot of this to you guys. So is there a bit of a sense of urgency? Because I would imagine that if the Republican legislature kind of let them do what they wanted to do, it's probably going to at least not get, it's not going to get any better likely.
I would agree with that sentiment. It's probably not going to get any better. With regards to a sense of urgency, really the deadlines that we're under are, so we're still sending our brief to the Supreme Court. So we were getting ready to brief the Court of Appeals in lieu of the health department moving forward with their appeal. We still have the opportunity, and we'll take the opportunity to send that brief to the Supreme Court, who has already chimed in and said that they want to hear this case. They wanted to give Court of Appeals a chance first. They've now withdrawn that. So moving forward, what we're hoping to see is either the Michigan Supreme Court take this case, and or we get in through the Court of Claims and shine a big old spotlight on how much damage has been done to not just the Iron Pig, but the thousands of restaurants and gyms and salons and all these other businesses that were affected by that wide-ranging health law. So that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, that makes sense. Perfect. So, you know, we're almost out of time, but you have been largely, as I alluded to, you know, throughout this entire conversation, you guys, the Iron Pig, you specifically, Ian, have been kind of the face of fighting back against this administration here in Northern Michigan. And you've been doing, you know, a great service for freedom-loving people here in Northern Michigan. What is something that the audience can do to help you guys out?
Well, first of all, the best thing you can do is go to fight4michigan.com, fightformichigan.com. So anybody that either wants to join the lawsuit or support our lawsuit, you know, these things are not cheap to do. You know, attorneys are not cheap. We've got lots of volunteers feathering through this information. But anybody that either wants to join and or support, to go to fightformichigan.com. There's lots of information. This isn't just about the Iron Pig. This is about anybody, like you said, that is freedom-loving and wants to stop the slow creep of tyranny. A lot of people don't want to hear that word, but let's be honest, that's exactly what this is. When the executive branch is taking authority from other branches, that's exactly what tyranny is.
Absolutely. Well, if you need any further help getting the word out on things regarding this case in the future, don't hesitate. Let us know. And again, thank you for what you're doing. Ian Murphy, owner of the Iron Pig in Gaylord. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you again, Nick. I appreciate you.
Of course.
Isn't that refreshing to hear people standing up to the government, the big bullies? I think it is. So they're doing great work down at the Iron Pig. Obviously, he didn't mention it when... I asked him, how can we be of assistance to you? But it probably doesn't hurt to go on down to the Iron Pig and check out what they have to offer, both on the liquor and the food side of things. So if you're in the downtown Gaylord area, I would also encourage you to do that. Thanks again to Ian for joining us on tonight's program. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we are going to get into WMKT's Market Watch. All that and more coming up next on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk, WMKT.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters and mom and dad and grandpa and grandma need them.
Thank you, first responders.
This is what I signed up for as a first responder. I am constantly worried about being exposed to this virus and potentially bringing it back to my home and my family. I'm going to continue going to work day in and day out and providing help to those that need it.
We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders.
Be safe, look after yourself, and look after one another. Thanks.
Let's show up for first responders and their families. Go to firstrcf.org to find out how you can help today.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-932-1656. 800-932-1656. 800-932-1656. That's 800-932-1656.
I'm Shelly from Waters Easy Mart.
Hi, this is Darlene from Beulah Easy Mart.
I'm Kat Lance, and I work at the Carson City Easy Mart.
Carrie from Grayling Easy Mart.
My name's Andrea. I'm the manager at the Boyne Falls Easy Mart. My favorite thing about Easy Mart are my customers. They are by far the best part of my job, every day, day in, day out.
The customers, because I get to meet different people from different areas, and everybody is super nice and very friendly.
Oh, the customers, for sure. I have all regulars chat every time they come in. We just feel like a family.
My customers, they are awesome. They come in and they are bright and cheery and wonderful.
We love seeing our customers. It brings joy to my day.
I just would like to give a shout out to both customers and staff.
Say hello to my staff and tell them how I think they are so incredibly helpful to everybody.
The Easy Mart family of stores.
The Easy Mart family of stores. Michigan's friendliest gas station.
Michigan's friendly gas station.
Michigan's friendly gas station.
You are listening to WMKT's Talk of the North with Nick Rudy here on Triple Talk WMKT.
Welcome back to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk WMKT. I can't believe it, folks. It's the last segment of the year 2022. It has been a fun ride so far. Looking forward to being back in on Monday. That is correct. We are not off on Monday. We are right back here on Monday, kicking off the new year with you guys on January 2nd. So sure, there's going to be plenty of news to talk about. Hopefully in the local news segment, we're not going to have to talk about too many traffic accidents, people. We just talked about in this local segment, there's plenty of ride options for you guys down in Benzie, Grand Traverse, and Leelanau County. So be safe out there and all that sort of good stuff. But still, have a good time. Again, if you've missed any of today's show, including any of the interviews that we did with Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig, I encourage you to go to our website, WMKT, thetalkstation.com. On the upper right-hand side of the webpage is the on-demand tab. Click that, click Talk the North, and you can listen to all the archived episodes right there in the browser. In fact, if you click the special edition interviews on the on-demand tab, just Ian's interview will be there as well. We want to make it as convenient for him and his supporters to check back in on that interview. So we cut that specially for him. And so that'll be up on the website as well. There's links to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You can listen there. And as always, you can just pull up the your favorite podcast hosting app or website on your computer. Type in Talk the North and we'll pop right up. Be sure to rate and review so we know what you like and what you don't like. And you can also subscribe, hit the notification bell. So even if you can't catch the show live, you'll be able to be notified when a new episode is put into your feed on your smartphone. All right, it is time for WMKT's Market Watch as we slowly approach the 6 o'clock hour. The Dow Jones, it fell 73 points, ending the day at 33,147. The NASDAQ fell 11 points, ending at 10,466 points. And the S&P 500 just fell a little bit, 9 points, and that ended at 3,839. So as you would imagine, a bunch of losses for today. Nothing too substantial. Even Domino's, I mean, it took a loss. It's, you know, one of the most volatile stocks. I always say that every show pretty much, but it could have been a lot worse. It was down. The stock was market was down. I think the Dow was down like around 500 points. And so it gained back up, you know, only fall 73. So it could have been a lot worse. Domino's Pizza, though, they fell $3.37 per share, ending the day at $346. DTE Energy fell $1.62, ending the day at $117.53. Lear Corp fell $1.09 per share, ending at $124.02. Stryker Corporation, they fell $1.03 per share, ending the day at $244.49. And Whirlpool Corporation, they fell $1.71, ending the day at $141.46. And that is the end of WMKT's Market Watch, and we have come to the end of today's show. Again, the final show of the year. We will be back on Monday. We're not taking another day off. We're going to go right through and grind through and get you guys caught up on all the local, regional, and national news that you need to know. Thanks for making this show. I know we haven't been around for the beginning of, you know, for most of 2022. It's still a pretty fresh show, but I appreciate all of your guys' support, and thank you for making this the best end of any year that I've had. I've been enjoying talking to you guys an awful lot, and I'm looking forward to getting things kicked off next year in 2023. Be safe, but have fun. Happy New Year. You're listening to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk, WMKT.